Well, good morning, everybody, and it is good to have everybody here this morning. And for everybody joining us online, welcome to another study through the book of Revelation. And I'm titling this series, The Revelation. And the reason why I call it that is because it's not the book of Revelations, plural. It's the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not the book of revelations of wrath, judgment, Antichrist, the beast, and all these various things that people like to emphasize when we study this particular book. We're looking at the very spirit and the heart of this last book of the Bible, which the Bible teaches us is supposed to bless us when we hear it, when we read it. It should be filling us with joy. It should be filling us with peace. We should be getting excited. And we found out in part one of this teaching that when somebody comes to you and says, "Oh, have you heard about the apocalypse?" Our response should basically be, "Yeah, praise God, amen, I'm excited about the apocalypse." And you know, that's foreign to most of us. Why? Because we associate the apocalypse with doom, gloom, despair, and agony, and bad things. But we found out the word apocalypse is actually the Greek word for revelation. So the whole book is built on, it's the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. It's the unveiling, the disclosing, the revealing of Jesus Christ to us. And we found out that the revelation of Jesus Christ is a common phrase that's used in the New Testament, and it's used to describe good news, not bad news. It's used to describe the gospel of our salvation. So why would the book of Revelation be any different? Why would we focus on the bumpy road it takes us to get there rather than the journey of where we're going? Yesterday, Levi and I took a bumpy road. On Friday night, we had wild hair. We're like, "Oh, we found out about this event that was going on in Northeast Alabama." Alabama. And it was about 4 hours away. I said, "Road trip." So me and Levi got in the car, woke up early on yesterday morning, and we took a drive through Atlanta all the way up to Northeast Alabama. And guess what? That was a long, arduous journey. But it was fun when we got there, glory to God, and we had a good time. And I believe that's what the book of Revelation's like, is that we get focused on the journey. But listen, if you're going on vacation, are you sitting there dreading the 4, 5, 6 hour drive that you have to get there? Are you looking forward to the week you're going to get to spend there? Praise God. We need to be focused on the eternal aspect of the book of Revelation, where we're going, not the bumpy road to get there. Can I get an amen? So that's what we started all talking about. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the very spirit of end time prophecy. It's Jesus. Amen. It's all about Him, and He is the Alpha, and He is the Omega. He's the beginning of the book of Revelation. He's the end of the book of Revelation. And guess what? He's everything in between. Praise God. You can find Jesus throughout its pages to share with you the good news and encourage you about what is to come. Then last week, we moved into chapters 2 and 3 and studied the golden lampstands, which are the seven churches of Revelation, which were seven physical churches that existed in the early first century. And they were the seven churches of Asia Minor. And these seven churches had flaws just like they had good things in them. And when you study them out, there was actually only two out of the seven that didn't get corrected by Jesus for anything. But when John had the churches revealed to him, guess what he saw? Seven, not five. Seven golden lampstands, showing us that Jesus, when He looks at us, flaws, with all of our warts, with all of our blemishes that we have, when Jesus looks at us, He sees us as golden. Amen. So, yes, there might be some things we need to change. There might be some things we need to adjust. But guess what? We are golden in the sight of God. We are precious, the most valuable commodity in the kingdom of God, because that's the way Jesus made us. Amen. Glory to God. So we studied seven pillars from the seven churches, which were seven things that we see repeated throughout these seven churches that I believe the Holy Spirit would have you and I to make sure we're applying to our life. Things such as a certain revelation of Jesus was given at the beginning of each church. There was a promise to him who overcomes to each church. Jesus said, "I see your works," to every church. He said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." He said that to every church. So there's things we see repeated there that we need to apply to our life constantly, because if they're repeated in the Word of God in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And Bruce showed me this one time. I'd never seen it, but do you know the phrase, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Guess how many times that's in the Bible? Three times. So in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Again, praise God. So when you see it repeated in the Word of God, you need to see it repeated in your life. That's what the Bible is teaching us. So we learned some very awesome and important things. But this week might be my favorite teaching through this entire series. This is something that the Lord showed me as He commissioned me to teach this. And it's found in Revelation chapter 4. So let's move on to chapter 4 today. You know, when the Lord put on my heart to teach this, this is a subject that I really didn't want to get into. It's a controversial subject. When you get into end time prophecy, if you don't teach it the way people are already inclined to believe it, then they might turn you off for other things. So for that reason, I like to kind of stay away from it. But hey, look, if the Lord tells you to say it, you say it. And He started showing me some things about the book of Revelation that I believe are very eye-opening and will help us to understand the rest of its content. And in chapter 4, we have a transition in this book. You know, we read a verse last week from chapter 1 where it said, I want you to write down the things that you have seen, the things that are, and the things that are to come. And I believe chapter 4 all the way to the end of the book, chapter 22, are the things which are to come. And that's where chapter 4 picks back up. So let's look at it. Revelation chapter 4. It says, after these things, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me saying, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. So when He says come up here, many of us are familiar with the old King James Version. And what does it say in the old King James? Come up hither. So the title of my message today is Come Up Hither. Come up here. And there's a lot of awesome things that we're going to find out today out of this verse and the verses that precede it. So it goes on to say, after these things I looked, and notice the first thing He said, behold, a door standing open in heaven. Oh, praise God. I believe this is symbolic in many different ways, but I think it's to reveal to us that now, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the door to heaven is wide open. We don't need to pray like they did in the Old Testament anymore. Swing wide, you heavenly gates. Why? Because Jesus swung them wide open. The veil has been rent. Now we have access into the holiest of holies whenever we want, however we want. Oh, glory to God. Did you know that? It's an open door. God's got an open door policy. Oh, hallelujah. We can just enter into the heavenlies, enter into His presence whenever we want, however we want. John chapter 4 teaches us this. There was a woman at the well. And you remember Jesus took a detour on His journey. And He went there to go get a drink. And He found this Samaritan woman. And she was there, and He begins to evangelize her, minister to her. And one of the things that comes out is, when He starts calling the lady out on the things she had going on in her life, she changed the subject real quick. You ever found anybody that's like that? You start talking about things that's pushing their button, and, oh, well, let's talk about this over here. That's what that woman did. And she said, you know, our ancestors say we're supposed to worship on this mountain, but you Jews say you got to go to Jerusalem to do so. And do you remember what Jesus said? He said, woman, I'm telling you, the hour is coming and now is. Say, now is. When the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. Not on this mountain, not in the temple. The true worshipers now will worship in the spirit. Which we'll get more into that here in a moment. But that's the way we're supposed to be living. You don't have to wait till Sunday morning when Oliver decides to sing the song that you like the best before you enter into the presence of God. You understand that? In fact, I've come to find out the best way to enter into the presence of God is not when I even have instruments. Not when I have anybody else stimulating my emotions. Why? Because if I sit down in my living room, I put my face on the floor and I start worshiping God out of my spirit with no stimulation whatsoever, I find out I get into a place that I can't touch even with a corporate atmosphere of worship. Amen. Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. Doing it spiritually, not soulishly, not fleshly. We're supposed to be entering in by faith. And you know when you do this? You do it when you don't feel like it. When everything is coming against you and telling you, you can't worship God right now, you'll be a hypocrite if you do, you don't feel like it, and he just wants you to be like that cat that's just licking its paws. Just licking your wounds. What do you need to do? You grab yourself by the ear and say, I'm going to praise God right now, I'm going to worship God right now, and you let it loose. When you do that, you press in more because it requires more faith, and that's how you enter into this open door policy with God. So there's a door standing open for us in heaven. But I want you to notice what happens after this. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me saying, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. So everything he sees from this point forward are things that are going to transpire into the future, right? So when he says come up here though, this is what the Lord ministered to me. And you just take this as trayology, okay? I'm not telling you that this is thus saith the Lord, but I'm going to tell you, I believe the Holy Spirit revealed this to me. Everything we see from chapter 4 through chapter 22 of the book of Revelations is not seen from an earthly, natural, carnal perspective. Everything John sees from this point forward is from heaven's perspective. You could say from a spiritual perspective, from a godly perspective, and I'm going to tell you something, and don't take this necessarily as correction, but because I'm just telling you, we're living in a world that's trying to get our attention on things, particularly in this hour we're living in, from an earthly, natural, carnal perspective. And that is not where we're supposed to live. We're supposed to be entering into that door that is swung wide open for us right now, looking at things from God's perspective. And when you study the Bible, you know what you find out constantly. I mean, the world will rage. It will gnash its teeth. It gathers everything together to try to get your attention and make you focus on all the negative things that are happening, all the things that are going on in this world. But that's when we've got to stop ourselves and say, I am not going to be carnally minded. I'm going to be spiritually minded, and I'm going to choose to press in so I can see things from where God is seating, not where I am. Do you see that? And when you study the Scriptures, what you find out is when the nation does rage like this, and you see all these things, God's sitting up in the heavens and laughing. I mean, when you read the Bible, which is our spiritual mirror, that's what you find out. God's looking at it, and He's not freaking out about it. He's not flipping out about it. He's up there actually laughing about it all. Why? Not because he's laughing at the negative that's going on right now, but he knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Amen. So we've got to keep ourselves in this place to where we're focused on things as God is focused on them, looking at them from God's perspective, not focusing on a pandemic, not looking on our social culture that's going on right now and all the different things that are happening in the world, and not focusing on these natural things and letting them rob our joy. Come on now, I'm preaching better than y'all are amen this morning. These things rob our joy, and I will tell you something. If you ain't got no joy, I'm going to say it with the worst possible English I can possibly say it. If you ain't got no joy, you ain't in faith. Period. So my faith needs to be in Him, which is where my focus is. I'm not looking at things which are seen. I'm looking at things which are unseen. I'm looking at what God says, what He's promised, what His Word says. And then I've got joy. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Now, I know you lose the majority of the church right there when you say that right there. Most people think the kingdom of God is all about eating and drinking. But it's righteousness. Come on, help me now. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if you want to know how things are going on in heaven right now, I'll make it real clear for you. Righteousness is being practiced, period. And there's peace there. There's not people going around, you know, wringing their hands and freaking out about what's going on. And there's joy. Oh, is there joy. And I'll tell you what, I've run into many different Christians in my life before. And it's hilarious because I watch them and you'll look at them and they're like, good gracious alive, do I want what that person has right now? I mean, because they're downcast and despondent and all this kind of stuff. And you go ask them, it's like, why are you like this? What's going on? Well, don't you know all the people that are dying and going to hell today? There's thousands of people every day dying and going straight to hell. Yeah, but there's people dying today and going to heaven too. So are you going to look at the glass half full or half empty? Right? The Bible teaches us that the angels rejoice over the one who repents, not over the 99 who don't need any repentance. So that means the angels are rejoicing over the good that's happening. And I'm here to tell you, there's good happening. I know the news doesn't like to report it today. The majority of the things that we see on the television and on the internet today, everybody's promoting bad news. But there's good news. There's a great revival going on right now. Tons of people getting saved in the Middle East. Oh, glory to God for that. We should be rejoicing in that. Focused on things from where God is coming from. Can I get an amen? So come up here from this perspective. So what the Lord showed me pertaining to the book of Revelation is, how many people, when they read and study the book of Revelation, they are not up here looking at the things in there. They're down here trying to identify everything that John saw from a natural standpoint. And I'm here to tell you, my personal opinion, this is the trilogy part. Everything else was perfectly good doctrine. Right here, you just have to take it whether you want it or not. It says, basically, that everything that he sees from that point forward, my personal opinion, is not to be taken literal. The things that he saw transpiring on the earth are not necessarily to be taken literal. They are things that are happening in the Spirit. Say, in the Spirit. In the Spirit that affect the natural. Do you see that? And what I mean by that is this. I mean, the Bible teaches us, and it's funny, I was telling Levi this the other day, Levi and Shannon, we were talking about some things where some people were just getting up in arms about, you know, this virus and different things that are going on. And I said, man, I wonder what people are going to do when these hornets come up out of the earth with men's faces and start stinging people. I mean, if people are freaking out about this stuff, this is really not that bad compared to what the Bible says is going to happen, right? So if this is freaking us out, what's that going to do? No wonder men's hearts are going to fail, right? But I don't necessarily believe that literally those are the things that are going to happen. I believe if we were right now, God were to just translate us up to heaven right now. We came up hither. And we looked at everything that's going on in the world today. This pandemic, the social issues, the political climate, all the different things that we're seeing. Do you know, if we were writing our book of Revelation concerning the current events, we wouldn't be describing them the way we see them right now. We might see some demons that look like this that are inspiring the virus. We might see this army of the kingdom of darkness that are starting all this stuff socially. Do you see what I'm saying? So we're seeing things now from a physical, natural standpoint, just like John would have if he wouldn't have come up to heaven. We need to come up to heaven's perspective. And we need to begin to see really what's happening, because if you don't, then you'll see all these natural things that are happening on the earth, and you'll just be doomed to think carnally just like the world out there. There is a spiritual climate that is going on right now, and I guarantee you, everything that is happening in the earth today, there's demonic inspiration to almost all of it. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them, lest they believe. And he and all of his cohorts in crime are out there trying to stir up stuff constantly. And here's the news. This happens to us every day. I was talking to a good friend of mine that had an experience. He was having surgery recently, and during this time, you know, you're kind of in and out, so you can have more of a perception into the spiritual realm. And he was seeing angels galore, demons all around, and they were all in this little hospital room that he was in. I'm here to tell you, there are demons in this room today. You know why? Because you brought them with you. I'm serious, because some people like it. They like those little demons that chirp into their ear. They like those little demons that come and say those things, and they don't have the spiritual wherewithal to know that's what's happening. They think it's them thinking it. They think it's them feeling it. But I'm telling you, we're getting a lot of help from the kingdom of darkness. But God we've got the kingdom of heaven with us too. There are angels in this place right now. The Holy Ghost is filling this place today. And we need to begin to see that greater is He who is in us than He who's in the world. Glory to God. I'm reminded right now of 2 Kings. I believe it's chapter 6. Do you remember the story where Elisha had his servant with him? And the king came and surrounded the city where they were in. And boy, in the natural, there was a multitude of an army that was surrounding them, ready to take him captive. And what did the prophet say during this time? Fear not, lad, for there are more that be with us than be with them. Now, I'll tell you, the lad didn't see it like that. The lad looked out and said, okay, prophet has fell off his wagon. Because he's just telling me, I'm not a math major, but I'm here to count right now, and there's a multitude of the king's army that's surrounding us right now. And he's saying there's more than us because there's just two of us. And more that be with us than them. But see, if you look at things from a spiritual perspective, there's always more with us. Oh, glory to God. So what we need to be responding with is if we have bad news come to us, there's negative circumstances that come against our life, are we going to continue to look at things from the earth? Or are we going to come up hither and look at things how God says they are? And when you see them like God, because I'll tell you, if your eyes are open to see the chariots of the Lord of hosts surrounding you, I guarantee you, your emotional makeup is going to be completely different then. Right? I remember when I was a young Christian, real green, and I worked at a Christian bookstore in Athens, and I was responsible for taking the bank deposit just down the little strip mall that we were in and go over to the bank to make the deposit. And for whatever reason, I just didn't have the sense to know that those little bank bags, you know, your little zipper bags, I'm just flinging the thing around when I'm walking down the sidewalk. Praise the Lord, worthy is the Lamb, glory to God. And I got the thought that came to me that said, don't you know that somebody could see you and they'll come and rob you? And my response immediately, and this is how you respond, with the thoughts. You got that? The thoughts came like that, and my response was, yeah, but look at all the angels surrounding me. Right? And I thought about it, and I was like, man, is that arrogance? You know, I was just telling Barbara, we were talking before the service, and I said, you know, I've been on an airplane before, and I had somebody that was sitting next to me that was freaking out, thinking the plane was going to crash. You know what I told him? I said, you're lucky I'm on this plane with you. It ain't going to crash as long as I'm on here. Why? Because I can't speak for her, but I'm going to just tell you, it is not going down as long as I'm on it. Oh, hallelujah. And people look at that and they're like, that's arrogance. Who do you think you are? It's not who I think I am. It's who I know I am and who we all need to know we are. And I went to the Lord about it, and God said to me, I mean, I was like, God, is that arrogance to think that way and talk that way? And my Bible just flopped open to Jeremiah that said, he who let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the strong man glory in his strength, but let him who glories glory in this, that I am the Lord exercising justice and righteousness on your behalf. In other words, what the Lord was saying to me was this, is that, yeah, you can actually glory, which is the word for boast or to brag, about God's activity in your life and what He said is yours. So I've got a message. I haven't ever preached it before, but I've got it. Two things God wants you to brag about. One day I'll preach it to you. Two things God wants you to brag about. Who He is in your life and your weaknesses. Paul's thorn in the flesh. He wants you to actually brag about your weaknesses. I will glory. I will most rather glory in my weaknesses. For when I am weak, I am strong. Oh, hallelujah. That will preach too. Praise God. So look at here. Revelation 4. John is seeing everything he's seeing from an eternal, heavenly perspective. And when, like that servant of Elisha, had his eyes opened, he saw the angels there. Praise God. We need to see the angels there. We need to see the deliverance that's there. We need to see what's on our behalf. Oh, glory to God. Because God is for us. He's on my side. I can't lose in Him. You can't. If I just put my trust in Him, I will overcome. Glory to God. So He said, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. Now, I want to ask you a question. What was the first thing John saw when he went up to heaven? Was it the Antichrist? Was it the beast? Was it the bowls of wrath? Was it the judgments? Was it all the other things that people see in the book of Revelation? No. Look at the first thing he saw. Immediately, I was in the Spirit. Now, let me comment on this for a moment. That's opposed to being in the flesh. I was in the Spirit. Meaning what? I'm in the spiritual realm. I'm in a spiritual perspective. I'm in a different place. Amen? And I'm here to tell you, that's where we need to live. But the world will hammer into you that you need to look at things naturally. Carnally, you're not being responsible and all this different stuff. I'm not talking about burying your head in the sand. There is a part we have to play here on the earth, right? But I'm here to tell you, the vast majority of what our focus is on is in the flesh, not in the Spirit, from the majority of things that I see. And the reason why we know is because people lose their joy. They get frustrated. They get all mad and angry. I mean, there are certain things I've had to turn off on Facebook. You know, you can stop following things so you don't see all those things that get you all mad. Because I don't like to focus on that. Not that I want to ignore it, but that doesn't feed my faith. What feeds my faith? Am I talking about what God's doing? What does God say about this? And I guarantee you, God's not saying the same thing about everything that's going on the earth today that the majority, even the church, is saying today. I can promise you. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, check this out, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So I ask you again, what's the first thing John saw? He saw a throne, and there was somebody sitting on it. And this person that was sitting on it is who we affectionately refer to as God the Father. Oh, hallelujah. This is the first thing John saw when he looked into the Spirit. And guess what? It's the first thing you and I are going to see when we look into the Spirit. We're going to see a throne. I've heard people say this before, is God's still on the throne. Bad things are happening. God's still on the throne. And I love that. It's a great statement because, you know why? How many people act like God's not on the throne when things happen in this physical world? I mean, it's easy for us to say, oh, God's still on the throne, but the proof of the pudding is in the eating. How do you act? Do you act like He's still on the throne? You know what I'm saying? So when we get negative news and when there's things that are going on, how do we respond? We are to respond from a heavenly perspective that says God is still on the throne. He hadn't fallen off. His is an ever-increasing kingdom of whom there is no end. Glory to God. And when you start studying the kingdom of God, you find out real quick, man, in the kingdom of God, it's all good. It's always victory. It's always love. It's always life. It's always light. There is no darkness in Him at all. God's sitting on the throne. Hallelujah. So it says this, is that He saw a throne set, and one sat on the throne. And look at verse 3. Let's read what he saw. And when he sat there, he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, and the second living creature like a calf, and the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day and night, saying, and I'll get to that here in a moment. Now, when you read all the things that John saw right there, that might scare a little child. I mean, you read some of those things, but you need to understand something. The things John saw were from a perspective of 2,000 years ago, right? Like, for example, when you study the book of Acts, you remember when Peter had that revelation that you're not considered anything unclean anymore. And the Bible says that when he was in Joppa, in Simon the Tanner's house, and he was fasting, and he was hungry, and then there was a sheet that came down from heaven that was bound by its four corners. You remember that? Do you know what I absolutely believe that he saw there? A big old movie screen looking thing like that. But when you describe it from 2,000 years ago, before things like this were invented, how are you going to describe it? You have nothing to relate it to. Same thing can happen in heaven. There are colors there we don't have here on the earth. There are sounds there we have never heard on the earth. There are things going on in heaven that we have never, our technology has never even caught up with. So when they describe things, they're describing it like, for example, these voices like a trumpet. That might just be that they're using audio equipment like we use today. Because it's loud. Loud! Like a trumpet. So I'm just saying, there are certain things that you can't necessarily read literally. Some things you just need to understand. You're just, when you see them, you'll get it. Amen. Some things are better caught than taught. Glory be to God. But notice this, is that after they saw these things, what was he seeing? These phrases, look at verse 8 again. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. So the first thing John saw was the proclamation and the songs of heaven. Oh, glory to God. And that's why it was awesome. A lot of the songs that we sang this morning echoed a lot of these things. And I'm here to tell you, I believe, if this is what's going on in heaven, let me just say this. I've had people ask before and say, what's the best form of praise and worship? And you know what most people say? What you see in the Psalms. I don't believe so. I believe the Psalms are secondary to what? What you see in heaven. If this is the way it's going on in heaven, and Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth, help me finish it, as it is in heaven. So if one of the first things Jesus told us that we should constantly be praying, the model prayer, is that things should be on the earth the way they are in heaven right now. Is there any anxiety in heaven? Is there any sickness and disease in heaven? Is there any poverty in heaven? I mean, bless God, their pavement is gold. And guess what else is going on in heaven? Pure, unadulterated worship. Constant. Is going on. Why the Lord told us, let His praise be continuously in your mouth as it is in heaven. Oh, praise God. This is where we're supposed to be living from. Hallelujah. And then if you go to chapter 5 has a glorious event. In the 5th chapter, we have an event where all the attention is turned towards the Father sitting on the throne. And in His right hand, He has a scroll. And this conversation goes on in heaven of who is worthy to take the scroll from the Father and who is worthy to open it up and read it. And everybody began to weep because there was not one found worthy to open it up. But bless God, then all the attention turned to a lamb who had been slain. And he's sitting there and he arises and he comes to the Father and he takes that scroll out of his hand and everybody begins praising and worshiping the Lamb who is worthy forever. Because why? He is worthy to open the scroll. Oh, glory to God. And everything you see in chapter 5 is worthy as the Lamb who is worthy of all praise. What are we seeing in that? That needs to be our attention, is that Jesus is worthy. Jesus, it's all about Him. Everything, even the things that are going on the earth, we can choose to worship Him. We can choose to focus on Him. We can choose to say, He's coming again. Even as bad as it gets here on the earth, we can say, thank God Jesus is coming again. Oh, thank God He is coming and every eye will see Him and He's going to make all things right. He's going to make all things new. That's what I'm going to experience in my life. Now let's go over to John chapter 12 and I'll close with this. John 12. That doesn't mean I'm going to be done in the next 2 minutes though. So I don't want to create any unrealistic expectations. Oh, praise God. John 12, because I believe we have here in John chapter 12 an illustration of exactly what the Holy Spirit's point is to us today. Now, Jesus was talking about His soul being troubled and what shall He say? Father, save me from this hour. And in verse 28, listen to this. He's dealing with some turmoil because He's about to have to go to the cross. And you know, He was dreading that. There was a fleshly side to Jesus. I'm not talking about a sinful side, but a side that did not want to be separated from His Father, right? Or suffer physically. And so He wasn't looking forward to this time, but notice the way He ends in verse 28. Father, glorify Your name. Oh man, would to God that we would learn this. Is that even when we're going through the worst trial of our life, that we might have to acknowledge it and say, God, save us from this hour. Please deliver me. I'm expecting You to heal me. But you know what, Father? Glorify Your name. This is how Jesus overcame the world. And notice this. Father, glorify Your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. What a powerful event right here. Jesus addresses the Father and says, glorify Your name. And then an audible voice comes from heaven that says, I have glorified and will glorify it again. But notice this. There were three types of people that were in the crowd. There was what I would call the carnal crowd that thought it was thunder. And then there was the semi-carnal crowd that thought it was an angel speaking to him. But we know it wasn't an angel, right? The Father spoke to him. And Jesus heard it as being the Father. And apparently John did as well. So what does this show us? There are three different classifications, at least, of perceiving spiritual things. I mean, I'm telling you, we could have an audible voice come from God right now into this room where God says something. And guess what? There's probably going to be some people that are going to think, "Woo, thunderstorm's going on outside right now." Then other people will say, "It's an angel. It's a supernatural divine being." But then others will correctly perceive what's happening and they will see it as God's talking. Do you see what I'm saying right there? And I'm telling you, it happens subtly too. It happens when somebody like myself stands up and preaches the gospel. There are some people that'll hear it and be like, yeah, that was a nice message. Then there's other people that'll say, wow, there was some good in that. And then others will say, that was straight from God for me in my life. That's changed my life forever. There's different responses of people that when we're worshiping, people are being touched and blessed and ministered to by the presence of God, and everybody else is as dry as a gourd. Why is that? It's because it's very much on us to how much we experience spiritual things and how we perceive them. And that's what happened right here. And then it goes on to say, when you skip ahead, verse 37, but although He had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in Him. that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn, so that I should heal them. See, this is the reason why some people pick up on it, what's going on spiritually. That's why some people knew who Jesus was and some people didn't. Why? Because of our own eyes, our own ears being inclined. But look at verse 41. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Ooh, interesting. You know what that made me do? Go and look up in the book of Isaiah where Isaiah said this, and I saw something interesting. Go to Isaiah real quick with me. Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 6. You'll be familiar with this, but it's powerful. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. It says, we've got it on the screen, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and two he flew. This sounds a lot like what we just read in Revelation, doesn't it? So Isaiah saw something consistent with what John saw in the apocalypse, in the Revelation. And notice what they were saying. One cried to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Is that what you see today? Do you see the earth today full of the glory of God? Most people don't. They see the earth full of sin, violence, the curse. But from heaven's perspective, from seeing from the Lord's perspective, he sees the earth full of his glory. Oh, hallelujah. So that shows me that there is something else we can look at even when natural things are adverse to us. Like Peter saw when Jesus was walking on the water. When he looked at Jesus, he did the supernatural. He walked on the water. But when he turned his eyes away to look at the wind and the waves, guess what? He began to sink. I fear that many Christians today are sinking. Not because the Lord's not present. Not because the earth is not filled with His glory. But because we're looking at the natural, not the spiritual. And this doesn't just apply to end time events. This applies to my financial situation. This applies to my loved one who is suffering with a physical infirmity. What am I seeing? Am I seeing the Lord high and lifted up? Am I seeing the earth full of His glory? And boy, this changes things. It changes the way. See, what happened with Isaiah here is when he saw that, what did he say? I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. See, it changed how he even saw himself. And it doesn't have to change it from a negative perspective. It can change it from a positive perspective. Because when I see the host of heaven with me, when I see myself seated at the right hand of the Father, when I see myself with all the promises of God surrounding me, and His favor is around me like a shield, then, and only then, I will see myself with my head lifted high, chin up, chest out, bold, confident, full of faith, and it'll change things. It'll change things. And if in John chapter 12, do you know what was sandwiched in between what we read? Jesus with this statement, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." This is, I believe, our instruction today. The Lord says, it's time for you to come up hither, and it's time for you to lift Jesus up in your life. Exalt Him above the circumstances, above the storm, above the thing that's going on around you, and see things from heaven's perspective. And I'm going to tell you how you do it. You got to spend some time in the presence of God. You got to get into the Spirit and worship Him in spirit and in truth. All these things we learned about what they were saying in heaven, they were worshiping the Lamb. They were worshiping God. This is what keeps you and I in the place that's a higher plane. P-L-A-I-M. But P-L-A-N-E too. High and lifted up. I'm seeing things from a different perspective. Just like when you're flying in that airplane and you look out the window and you can see the glory of God's creation. You see things from different perspective there. The sun is always shining when you get above the clouds. Remember that and stand on your feet.